This is Jackson Peterson, and I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Humboldt, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Wednesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Jamie Dickerman. The strong winter storm that brought rain, snow, and blizzard conditions to much of the Midwest continues to move east. World Weather Incorporated says now snow was greatest from east central Nebraska through southeast Minnesota, where 3 to 7 inches fell, with few locations in southeast Minnesota reporting 10 inches. World Weather says the storm will bring additional rain and snow from southeast Minnesota to central Missouri to the eastern Corn Belt today, causing travel delays and power outages because of high winds. Much of the central and eastern Corn Belt seeing a mix of rain and snow Thursday into Friday, with moisture totals up to a half inch. World Weather Incorporated says the northern plains will be mostly dry and cooler, with a better chance of snow during the second week of the two-week outlook. Farmers in Brazil thought to have made good harvest and planting progress around well-scattered rains over the past few days. World Weather Incorporated says a few locations did receive up to 2 inches of rain in Mato Grosso. Rains will become more frequent through next Tuesday across much of Brazil and Paraguay. Excessive heat continuing to linger in parts of northern Argentina, where damage from crop stress is likely. Southern Argentina cooler with widespread rains, improving the crop. Rains will expand northward and be nearly widespread Thursday through Saturday. World Weather says the rain is expected to be mostly light and not provide much relief for the crop in the northern areas of Argentina. Well, yesterday, tariffs on Mexican and Canadian imports went into effect. At the same time, the tariff on Chinese imports doubled. American Farm Bureau's Senior Director of Government Affairs, Dave Salmonson, said those tariffs now cover a significant portion of American agricultural exports.
Mexico's $30 billion a year in our ag exports. Canada's 29. China's been about 24. Add them up, those three countries are half of all U.S. agricultural exports. The U.S. said they were going to put 25% tariffs on good imports from Mexico, 25% on most things from Canada, 10% on energy products, and with China, we added 10%.
Salmonson says tariff retaliation includes a large list of U.S. agricultural products.
From Canada, starting off with the 25% import tariffs on U.S. products going in, we got poultry and dairy, wheat, barley, rye, a lot of grains. China also has a retaliation list. This will go into effect on March 10th for chicken, wheat, corn, and cotton, 15%, and then 10%. Tariffs on soybeans and sorghum and pork and beef and fruit and veggies, dairy products.
The ongoing trade tensions and tariff raising concerns for farmers, and the biggest question is how long will they last? NDSU crop economist Frank Olson explaining that the longer tariffs remain in place, the greater the long-term impact on global trade flows.
But if the tariffs come on and they stay on for an extended period of time, now all of a sudden buyers and sellers start looking at alternative flows, right? They look at alternative systems or alternative supply chains that they have to go to be able to either get their products or sell their products. And once we start getting those longer term fundamental changes, it becomes much harder to go back to the system we had before.
Olson said one of the biggest concerns is China's soybean purchases, which have already declined since the last trade war.
Before the trade war, China purchased percentage-wise, you know, give or take about 40% of their soybeans from the United States, about 60% from China. After the trade war, most recently now, that number has dropped, depending upon the exact time period, about 25 to 30%. So let's call it 30% for simple math, versus 70% from Brazil and other sources.
The effects of new tariffs could take weeks to fully materialize in cash markets, but Olson noting that futures markets have already responded with significant price drops, adding to farmers' concerns. New tariffs on goods, Mexico, Canada, and China, raising concerns in the U.S. meat industry, as these countries account for a large share of American beef and pork exports. U.S. Meat Export Federation President and CEO Dan Hallstrom is concerned.
Mexico and Canada and China represents about a little over 40% of our exports. We're coming in at, in 2024 at $19.1 billion in total beef and pork exports. And if you add up Mexico, China, and Canada, it's about $8.4 billion of that. So obviously very concerning at a very high level. But we'll have to just see how this all plays out because there's a lot of moving parts.
Certain meat products could be hit especially hard if trade tensions escalate. Ahlstrom pointing to the importance of variety meats and lesser used cuts in these export markets.
You know, you look at China and Mexico in particular, there's a big focus on variety meats, both beef and pork variety meats, and a big focus as well on cuts that maybe aren't the most utilized cuts. You know, round meat is huge in New Mexico. Of course, half of our hams are exported and mainly go into Mexico.
Ahlstrom warning that U.S. exporters could lose ground to competitors like Brazil, which currently benefits from zero-duty access. Grains volatile with trading higher and lower today. Comstock Investments market analyst Joe Camp says expect the volatility to be the new norm.
Yeah, that seems to be the case here, that we're going to have bigger price swings on the basis of headlines that can pop up from every direction, and of course, particularly political, and that's what we're dealing with, starting with the tariffs and the big influence that they have had on the markets this week, and knowing that more will come on that. Leading into this weekend, we're going to have more responses realized from those affected trading partners. That's Canada, Mexico, China, and still digesting what the impact will be going forward on these markets.
Camp waiting for cash fundamental drive to drive the livestock market.
The recent sell-off, which has been largely speculatively driven in my mind because of the related outside financial market worries and the fact that they had been holding these big net long positions in all three markets, hogs, live cattle, and feeder cattle futures, there's been more of a risk-off, a flight to the sidelines type of downtrend here. But then you're left with futures then that hold these pretty big discounts.
Reporting agriculture's business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network. Wednesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. South Dakota House Bill 1052, which focuses on eminent domain and carbon pipelines, has gained strong support in the state legislature, passing the House with a veto-proof majority and clearing the Senate by just one vote shy of the same margin. Doug Somke, president of the South Dakota Farmers Union, said the bill is about protecting property rights for the farmers.
It's very simple. You know, it's just about property rights. That's all it is, you know. Just treat them right. And I know, you know, there's a lot of people concerned about it's going to cause some problems for ethanol and stuff. No, it's not. It's not. That's not the thing. Just treat the farmer right. That's all we're asking.
Supporters of HB 1052 arguing that it reflects the will of the people, pointing to the last year's overwhelming rejection of a previous bill that was seen as unfavorable to farmers.
We had a referendum on their bill from last year, 201, supposedly the farmers' rights bill, and that got defeated soundly. We brought that law back through RL 21 last year, where in almost every county but one supported it. By the minimum of 53%. So, I mean, the people spoke, and it's the people's bill, and, you know, we're proud to be part of it.
Somke says the governor has 5 days to sign the bill, or it will automatically become law. National Farmers Union has been involved in a legal dispute with the four major U.S. meat packers. NFU President Rob LaRue talks about where it's at.
Farmers Union has been in a lawsuit along with RCAF against the four major packers in the beef industry. And the case itself continues to kind of move its way through the courts. It never moves as fast as we want it. But one update is that we do have preliminary approval for a settlement in that case by JBS to the tune of about $83.5 million. For those who have sold fed cattle directly to any of the four defendants in this case will ultimately be eligible for to be able to recoup some losses there.
LaRue says it's a lawsuit everyone in the beef industry should keep an eye on.
Folks should continue to watch this case very carefully, and additional news will be coming out with the details.
House Ag Committee Chairman Glenn G.T. Thompson plans to introduce an agricultural labor bill. It will likely include changes to the H-2A visa program. Mark Anderson is on the board of U.S. Custom Harvesters and said agriculture needs change.
The farmers need a program that allows these workers to stay on a work authorization, which is not a citizenship. That's not citizenship. You know, this work authorization, it allows them to work here and then go home.
The American Coalition for Ethanol is gearing up for the organization's annual fly-in to Washington March 27th. Vice President of Public Affairs Katie Muckenhorn emphasizing the importance of getting a permanent national solution for year-round E15 availability.
E15 year-round, that's going to be one of our top priorities at our fly-in this year. We're looking for a national permanent legislative solution, so just encouraging Congress to finally get a legislative fix across the finish line to allow E15 in all states. Right now, the 8 Midwest states will have the ability to do E15 year-round, but we need a national permanent fix, so that's definitely a top priority.
Despite bipartisan support, Muckenhorn acknowledging ongoing roadblocks, particularly from oil interests and regulatory hurdles. However, she expressed optimism about the current political climate.
There's more support, I think, than ever now for E15 year-round, so we're cautiously optimistic that we can make some progress here this year. The Trump administration signaled pretty early on that he would put out waivers this year, so waivers during the summertime if we don't have a national solution in place. And Brooke Rollins, who has just spoke to us this at Commodity Classic here, expressed her support for biofuels and Trump's support as well. So we're looking forward to working with this new administration on finding a solution.
China has established its economic growth target for the year ahead at 5%. That's unchanged from last year. The consumer inflation target of 2%, the lowest in more than 20 years. The announcement from the Chinese premier coinciding with a new trade war between the U.S. and China. U.S. now controlling the two ports on each end of the Panama Canal. A group of investors led by BlackRock agreeing to take majority ownership, paying Hong Kong-based C.K. Hutchinson nearly $23 billion. President Trump voiced security concerns about these ports during his inauguration address, recognizing China's ownership as a security threat. Reporting Agriculture's Business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network. Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network, the Transportation Go Conference will be held next week in Minneapolis. Specialty Soya Grains Alliance Executive Director Randy Duckworth says the conference is a chance for the soybean industry to discuss transportation issues.
Rail, we need more containers in the Midwest, always, particularly for exports. Talk about the expanding transportation options in the Great Lakes region. And see some fantastic speakers. We've got the Gene Soroka, the CEO of the Port of LA, coming. We've got Daniel Maffei, head of the Federal Maritime Commission, Robert Primus from the Surface Transportation Board, as well as a number of others, like from Hapag-Lloyd, the Northwest Seaport Alliance, and the list goes on. So really a fantastic lineup of speakers.
Duckworth expecting tariffs and port fees to be a big topic of conversation.
The fees that the current administration is proposing be placed on Chinese vessels coming to the U.S., that has potential to affect the transportation industry significantly. Containers, availability of containers is always a huge issue in the Midwest. And, we're always just trying to find solutions for that. So that'll be a big one for us for sure.
Taking a look at the markets here and how we're trading as we get closer to the close of the day here, looking at Minneapolis wheat in May, we're up 8 3/4 now at 588 3/4. July's up 8 cents, 602 1/4. Chicago, May is up 11 1/4, 548. Kansas City, May, we're up 8 cents now, 556 1/2. Looking at corn, May, we're up 4 at 455 1/2. And July's up 3 1/2, 462 3/4. December corn is up 0.5 cent at 447 1/4. May soybeans up 11 3/4 at 1010 3/4. July's up 10 3/4, 1024 1/2. November up 6 3/4 at 1010 1/4. April live cattle right now is up 232 at 196.97. June is up 287 at 192.95. August is up 280 at 191.27. April feeders up 385 now at 276.40. The May is up 410 at 275.10. In lean hogs now, April is up 237 at 84.72. And May up 207 at 87.55. Reporting Agriculture's Business, this is the Red River Farm Network.